minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast, a victory week edition, a 4-1 edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast. My name is Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Packer Report's very own Ross Uglum. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Ross, happy Victory Tuesday to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. This is actually the first Pack-A-Day podcast broadcast from the Green and Gold Media Studios. My wife and I are expecting in April, and I got thrown out of my office. So I took the rather large storage area that we had underneath the stairs, and I've created quite the studio, and I'm really, really pleased with it and pleased with the audio quality that we've been able to produce for some of our North Dakota State stuff, and really excited to bring it to Pack-A-Day.
Yeah, man, you sound great. You really do. I was telling you this off air, but like you came in through, you sound just like a sultry, like broadcasting dude. And you know what else?
Oh, yeah.
You know what else is really good, Ross, is the injury news that the Packers got today on one guy in particular to just kind of jump right into the show here. But that guy is, you know, Darnell Savage, who has really been everything the Packers have expected of him and maybe even a little bit more. He doesn't come off the field. He's great in the slot. He's great deep. He's been such a refreshing dude. But, you know, he got rolled up yesterday. It kind of looks scary. So it's one of those injuries that you kind of hold your breath. He didn't come in at all in the second half. So you're kind of thinking, all right, you know, here we go. At least I was, you know, just kind of with the Packers injury luck, especially with their young studs. They always seem like they just have poor luck there. But in any case, good news there. I know Ian Rappaport reported today that it's an ankle. It's not as serious as maybe they thought it would have been. There's no timetable on it right now. We won't get that. And, you know, Coach LaFleur has really been very close-lipped on injuries. You know, I think his kind of go-to line so far this year has been, you know, the injury report comes out when it comes out. And so we'll get more about that later, but all signs are indicating that he is not seriously injured. I don't know what his availability will be this week, but it would appear that it's not a long-term thing. The other guy that got dinged up was Kevin King, the standout corner, who's been playing really well this year. This third year, things seem like they're really coming together for him, Ross. Just kind of still dealing with the injury bug. And he dinged up his knee on that interception that he had. He downplayed it after the game. There hasn't really been any update as far as what he's dealing with there. But after the game, he said he was fine. And is really, Ross, as long as he didn't, you know, re-aggravate that the growing injury that he's been dealing with, he should be fine. I think he's going to be all right. And then obviously the other big one was Corey Linsley, who is in the concussion protocol. Not going to know anything about him. With head injuries, you really just don't know. He could be back next week. He could be out 3 weeks. I mean, honestly, those are touchy things that, you know, everybody's different. So obviously things to monitor as we go through, you know, this week when we got another divisional game coming up with the Detroit Lions coming to Lambeau Field Monday night. But Ross, do you have any thoughts, opinions, concerns about those injuries or anything that I missed?
You know, the Linsley thing I think is concerning. Just because, like you said, it's a head injury, so it's touchy, and it's honestly it's not to be screwed with. Those kind of deals are very serious. I mean, they're legitimate. They're brain injuries. That's what they are. So, not something that you really want to mess around with at all. You know, you want to have everything on the up and up there. As far as King, he finished the game. You'd have to assume he'd be good to go, and you have to be pleased with the Savage news. Hopefully that extra day to get ready for Monday Night Football kind of, you know, has him ready to go. There was a significant drop off in play from Savage to Will Redmond. You saw some of the prayers downfield from Dak Prescott get answered, and maybe, or maybe they don't get answered with Savage kind of roaming back there. But a lot of deep stuff got answered late for the Dallas Cowboys with Redmond patrolling, and obviously the corners, and in the Ezekiel Elliott case, I think it was Rashawn Gary, but the corners and linebackers and nickels have to do their job as well. But you could definitely tell that, you know, Savage was missing when he was missing. So that's a big one. Lucas Patrick, I think, is fine, especially as a pass blocker, which is kind of what matters when you're really worried about stuff. Of course, you'd like to run the ball well, but protecting Aaron Rodgers is a number one.
Yeah, and that's kind of leads me to what I was going to ask you next is, let's say, you know, Lucas Patrick, you know, he's a third year pro. He's started in this league. He's played in this league. He's a good backup, you know, as far as interior offensive linemen go. He's a guy that I feel pretty comfortable with out there. But there have been questions about Elgton Jenkins. Would you move him to center with Patrick back to guard? You know, I'll answer my own question. I would say no. I think that's crazy. But Ross, what are your thoughts on that? I know that's kind of been thrown around a little bit.
Yeah, I have no idea, or I have no desire to do that either. I don't think it's in the best interest of the team, especially when you see how well they are playing up front. You just don't mess with the Jenkins. I think you stick him at left guard and leave it alone. Now, if Lane Taylor was available, which he's not, but if he was available, you could definitely talk to me about having Lane play left guard and Elgton play center. I think that's maybe something that makes a little bit more sense. But Taylor is at least out for another 7 weeks, probably not coming back this season. So I don't see it. I don't think it's even worth the discussion to start flipping guys because, you know, maybe you think you get a little bit more out of Patrick at guard. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and so that kind of brings me into the next segment that I wanted to do for this game. And I want to call it just Under the Radar Stars. And these are guys that maybe are not getting a ton of pub in the media when you talk about, you know, the two Aarons, obviously. Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers are going to take, you know, the spotlight on offense. And then on defense, it's Ben Smith Brothers, you know, all day, every day, twice on Sundays, which is fine. They deserve it. But obviously, this team is winning in ways that are beyond just Aaron Rodgers, that are beyond Aaron Jones. And quite frankly, their defense is playing better largely because of the Smith brothers. But there's a lot of guys that have been stepping up when they've been asked to. And two guys that I really want to highlight are the two guards in this offense is Elgton Jenkins and Billy Turner. And you talk about running the outside zone scheme. Two reasons they brought in these guys is because they're big and they can move. And I think last week you saw, you know, such a great example of these guys getting to the second level and just making life. I mean, they, you know, Aaron Jones made life miserable for their inside linebackers, but in part he was able to do that because Elgton Jenkins and Billy Turner did such a good job of getting to the second level in this outside zone. Ross, what are your thoughts on the play of these two guards throughout the first 5 weeks?
Well, I mentioned something along those lines and really pointed out kind of the dichotomy of the play because I thought Billy really struggled in pass pro. And I wasn't alone in that opinion, but his run blocking was excellent. And all of Elgton Jenkins' play, frankly, was excellent. And I thought Lucas Patrick did a pretty good job in the run game.
Yeah.
What you want to see is a little bit more of a balanced effort and maybe Rodgers not having to make so many plays moving around and manipulating the pocket. And they have had games like that, you know, this season where Rodgers has had time to just sort of sit back and chill.
Yeah, and I think you look at this offense and what Matt LaFleur wants this offense to do, and I think we're kind of seeing a shift in philosophy that Packers fans, quite frankly, we need to get used to it because I think this is a team that they're not joking when they say they want to run the ball. And you saw it last week. I mean, Aaron Jones, 4 rushing touchdowns. I mean, gosh, how many times did he touch the ball? He carried it almost 20. He's 7 catches. I mean, the guy was the focal point of their offense, and that's kind of the give and take with Billy Turner is when you ask a guy to pass pro, like, yes, you want him to be able to do that, but they want to be able to run the ball. And Billy Turner has been fantastic in the run game. I think he's left something to be desired in the pass, in pass protection. But kind of like what you were saying off air, Ross, if he's, you know, allowing one pressure, two pressures a game and dominating in the run game like that, that's a fair trade-off for me, especially if they're trying to do everything through the run game. Now, Elgton Jenkins has been stellar on pass pro and run blocking. I mean, you think about this guy played center at Mississippi State, and when he was drafted, I think a lot of people were scratching their heads saying, what's the plan for this guy? And, you know, hats off to Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. They had a plan for him. They wanted to play him at guard, and it didn't take him long to insert himself into that role. And I mean, he's pretty much entrenched in there. If his first, you know, two or three games are any indication of what type of player he can be and what type of player he wants to be. Just look at the Minnesota Vikings, Ross. You think they would trade Garrett Bradbury for Elgton Jenkins straight up right now? I think they'd be crazy not to, you know, the way these two guys have played. Garrett Bradbury was taken almost 30 picks higher than Elgton Jenkins, and they look like two completely different tiers of players so far in this first quarter of the season. So I think the Packers.
Yeah, that one makes me sad. I had somewhere around like 42, 43, I had Bradbury one slot ahead of Jenkins in my rankings. And it makes me look like an idiot. The anchoring thing, I think, is something that can be added later with Bradbury, but Jenkins just looks like a more complete player right now.
He looks
just
stronger, heavier. I mean, you talk about anchoring and just not getting walked back, and that's Garrett Bradbury. You know, he did that in college, and so far, because I really like Bradbury coming out. I mean, I think that's something you look back on, and, you know, you always try to learn from your misses. And listen, Garrett Bradbury's five games into his professional career. He can figure it out, that's for sure. But you look at stuff and say, you know, maybe did I fall in love with Garrett Bradbury's athleticism and kind of look over just the fundamental aspects of playing interior offensive line in the NFL? And that might be something I did, and definitely something I want to keep an eye on looking forward. But under the radar stars, two other guys I wanted to highlight on defense, Ross, were the two secondary guys that really stepped up. And you talked about Will Redman already, and he definitely, you know, he wasn't perfect yesterday. But when you talk about a guy that can come in off the bench and give you good snaps, he looked like a guy that, one, he played really well on special teams, led the team in tackles, special teams tackles yesterday with three, played that option beautifully from the safety position yesterday as well. And he held up for the most part in coverage. There were a couple big plays that you could probably attribute, or maybe not attribute, but just hope that, you know, when Savage is out there, he makes those plays. But, you know, Will Redman is on his third team. He had kind of the devastating knee injury. So you look at him and say, this guy's got great draft pedigree. I think he was a top 50 draft pick, or top 100 at least. And he's dealt with some injuries, but he looks like a guy that might be getting settled in, to that can finally kind of have a home and say, you know, this is my role on this team. I'm going to play lights out special teams, and I'm going to come in and hopefully just have to play spot duty as a safety. But, you know, here's another guy that the Packers look like they might have found something here with Will Redman. And the other guy, Ross, and I'll let you speak on him, because this is a guy that really played well with, and that's Chandon Sullivan. He's a guy that, he was the top graded defender on Pro Football Focus. His coverage grade was very good. It was borderline elite status. And he's a guy that, you know, he didn't play just 11 snaps. It wasn't just five snaps. I mean, this guy played 30 plus snaps yesterday. He played a good chunk of the game, Ross. So what are your thoughts on Chandon Sullivan, and what he brings to this team, and maybe what we can look for moving forward?
Yeah, that was something that I really thought was kind of interesting, just because I didn't think of Chandon as a nickel. Granted, I'm not saying that I watched a ton of Eagles film or any of him in college, but I always thought, especially with his size, that he was probably an outside corner. That was not how he was utilized at all on on Sunday. He was almost, I think he was exclusively playing inside, unless maybe Tremont played a little bit of nickel with Chandon on the outside, because I think Tremont was pretty much following Randall Cobb around. But I got to tell you, I was impressed, and I'm really excited. I mentioned this in the film review piece that's up at Packer Report right now. I'm excited to see him on the all 22. I want to see that wide angle, because you can't always track defensive backs on the TV copy. The camera angle in Dallas is not necessarily helpful or hurtful in that way, but I want to see him play in, play out, because you're right. He did get a really good grade from Pro Football Focus. They're pretty good at recognizing coverages, recognizing responsibilities, and kind of getting you in a place where you can accurately figure out what's going on with these defensive backs. And I thought he made a great play on the ball in his interception, but I don't remember him getting victimized. And that was something that was apparently happening while he was in Philadelphia, but definitely was not happening during the preseason with his time with Green Bay.
And he just makes, you know, he did it all training camp, just made plays. And he really, you know, if that one Will Redmond interception is not overturned by the penalties that were, you know, really away from those two guys, but he made a great play on that ball too. And if you're talking about that, you know, if that play stands up, you're talking about Chandon Sullivan potentially being the defensive MVP yesterday coming off the bench. And another narrative that's kind of floating around is, you know, did Chandon Sullivan come in before Josh Jackson? What's wrong with Josh Jackson? Is he a bust? Is he this? Is he that? Ross, what are your thoughts on that as far as snaps played? Did Chandon Sullivan come in the game before Josh Jackson?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to take a look at the player participation report, but you're talking about 37 snaps for Chandon and 34 for Jackson.
Right.
And so, I mean, here's the deal, is you just didn't see a ton of Jackson because they're playing him off the ball. They're playing him at safety, or, you know, occasionally they're lining him up. Like he had some Jason Witten duty, and he, you know, like I said, 34 snaps to 37 snaps. I'm not mad about 34 Josh Jackson snaps. I think he's just kind of getting his feet under him. Cause the other thing you have to remember, he's a second year, and I'm not making excuses for him. He's a second year pro that didn't get to play in camp. You know, he had no camp, and we're only in week five. So I'm not stressed about Josh Jackson. I kind of have a personal rule not to get stressed about anybody until after year three, but you know, it's 2019. You can't have patience.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's important to note too, and I like that you mentioned the snaps, because I think a lot of people were concerned because they thought he just wasn't out there at all. And that's, like you pointed out, that's not the case. I think they just were using him in a different role than in that kind of in that slot corner, which I think a lot of people expected him to be, you know, the next man up in that slot corner. But I think the Packers, you know, Will Redmond was dinged up this last year, so they weren't really maybe sure who was going to play that third safety role. And I think maybe, you know, and this is me just kind of spitballing, but I think they potentially maybe thought Jackson was going to play that role. And so that's really where he was taking his reps all week. No idea, but that's kind of just me reading the tea leaves. Ross, anyone else that you kind of want to point to as guys that maybe have flown under the radar so far this season, but they've really helped this team be a 4-1 team?
You know, not necessarily. One guy that I think needs to be pointed out is just how much of a stark difference there is with Montrevious Adams in the game. They really struggled to stop the run against Philly, and even the week before that wasn't particularly great. But this is, you know, a situation certainly where the best running back in the league per, you know, most everyone with an opinion really did not have a fantastic day, or at least you look at what a guy like Jordan Howard did to them, and then you extrapolate that and you start thinking about what a guy like Zeke might do to them, and it didn't go down that way. And I'm not giving all the credit certainly to Montrevious Adams, but he's definitely the the what was missing and what's there now. You know, that's the
And they did look a lot different with him on the field. And what's interesting to me with that, and why I think it's always like I love Pro Football Focus. I think people that follow me know that because I'm a big nerd about stats. I just like looking at things like that. But you can't. It's not the be all end all. I've also said that. You have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes because you look at, like, Montrevious Adams is a great example of that. He has a terrible grade. He is the second lowest graded defender per Pro Football Focus with a terrible run defense grade. But the difference in the Packers' run defense with him on the field and when he is not is noticeable to the naked eye. And so I think, you know, that stuff's interesting. So sometimes you just got to trust your eyes. And that does kind of go with the whole, you know, a lot of people like to point out, you know, Pro Football Focus doesn't know what the defensive call is, and they're right. They don't. And so, you know, maybe Montrevious is being asked to do kind of that dirty work where he's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna be shooting into the backfield and making plays and doing this and doing that, but he's kind of just, you know, eating up blocks if he needs to and letting guys run around and make plays. So, I agree. I think he's an under the radar guy that is definitely worth monitoring going forward as well, just because, I think he could be just one of those kind of lunch pail type dudes. Next, I want to talk about, you know, I tweeted this out today, and I really do believe this. It's so early in Matt LaFleur's career that it is tough to make any opinions one way or another. But Ross, don't you just feel, I mean, you can, and it's tough to gauge feelings, but don't you just feel like the Packers got a good one? I mean, just the way he's come in, the culture of this team, the way these guys are playing, I don't know, man. There's something so much beyond just X's and O's of being a head coach in the NFL, and I think that's so hard to gauge. And it's like drafting a kid out of college. You don't really know what they are or who they're going to be until they get into that role. But early returns on Matt LaFleur have been wild. I would not have guessed this team is going to be 4-1 after 5 weeks. And I think a lot of that you have to point at Matt LaFleur and what he's been able to do with the culture of this team. Ross, what are your thoughts after 5 games of the Matt LaFleur era?
I mean, I think especially if you compare him to his contemporaries, and I did that in a tweet today, Handsome Matt is 4-1. The other 5 rookie head coaches are 4-18-1. So, you know, like I said, just compared to his contemporaries, I think you really have to feel like they got a winner in Matt LaFleur. And he was a guy, and I'll admit, you know, he was always second on my list. I liked Josh McDaniels and then, you know, originally I wanted Lincoln Riley, as I think everybody else did, but Matt LaFleur was always like number 2 on my list and a guy that I thought would really fit well and learned kind of at the feet of the right masters. And I don't think there's anything right now where you would say that, you made a mistake. I mean, right. And it's way too early to tell. But it's an important thing to get right, obviously.
Yeah, and I think,
you know, it's the direction in the future.
So much was made of the narrative. You know, this was, you know, the Eagles game was really the first bump in the road for Matt LaFleur, and how is he going to respond? How is this team going to respond? And I mean, they went into Dallas and play and blew the doors off of a playoff caliber football team, and is there a better way to respond? I mean, golly, like that's impressive. You know, that's very impressive. Now, can he go, you know, keep it going now? Can he, as Mike McCarthy loved to say, can he stack success? Can he continue to do that? I mean, it's tough to feel like the Packers haven't been almost kind of stealing wins at the beginning of this season. And now things are kind of starting to, you know, the tires are kind of hitting the ground and they're starting to pick up speed. And they're 4-1, and their best football is in front of them, and so that, you know, the prospect of that is exciting. It's very exciting. So I think, you know, things are looking up in Green Bay, and, you know, knock on wood, and a lot can happen. The season is long, and, you know, we could be sitting here, in February when someone else is playing in the Super Bowl and thinking about where things went wrong and all this, you know, and that. So definitely, you know, enjoy the wins. They're fun. It's fun to be rooting for a team that is on the winning side of things. We're as weird as it is to say with an Aaron Rodgers led team, you know, Packers fans, we haven't really been here in about, you know, 2.5 years, just where you can go into a game and expect your team to play well and to be fun to watch and win a game, you know, so that's fun. I'm certainly trying not to take that for granted, even though they're winning in a different way than I think a lot of us are used to seeing. It's still fun to watch a team win. So with that said, you know, looking ahead to Detroit. Detroit is one of those teams, Ross, that are they good? Are they not good? I mean, it's tough to tell. It kind of seems like Detroit, their style of play is they want to just kind of muck everything up. They want to muddy the waters, and they want to kind of drag you down and see if they can keep you down and then kind of get the last blow-ins. They're an interesting team. So I want to ask you two questions, Ross. One, going into the Detroit week where they come to Lambeau on Monday, what are you confident about and what are you worried about?
I'm confident in that I think Green Bay's got the better team, confident in that it's a home game, confident that they lost the last home game and that they're going to be playing with a purpose, knowing that this insane run of constantly being at home, I think it was 5 of 6 or something like that. But this insane run of being at home is going to come to an end, and they're going to have to win road games. And I think they want to bank this one home game against Detroit, a team that they should beat. They're going to want to bank that, and they're going to want to get a win, and they're going to want to move forward, I think, to then Kansas City. But the issue that I have, or the concern that I have, I think, would definitely be with, like you said, the style of play. I mean, Darius Slay, he wants to get in Devontae Adams' face. They want to get in your face, and they're good up front. They're good in the corners. They have certainly have the abilities to get it done defensively, and then, you know, Matthew Stafford does wild stuff late in games and has for his entire career, and that's, I think, where you are just concerned. And honestly, I think this is a Lions team that's beaten Green Bay four times in a row.
Is Mike Daniels healthy yet?
That's a good question. He had a foot issue. I know he definitely signed with Green Bay with the, you know, hope of playing against the Packers, so I would guess that he'd do anything that he could to play against Green Bay. But yeah, I don't know for sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's definitely something to monitor, especially if you got Lucas Patrick playing center. And you know, I just think of Sunday night's football game when you watch the Chiefs play Indianapolis and you see, you know, Justin Houston come into Kansas City and leave his fingerprints all over that game. You know, and Justin Houston is a guy to me very similar to Mike Daniels, just a pro's pro guy that's been there, done it, been good for a long time, just has a ton of pride. And he's a guy that, you know, that's what worries me, is just watching him wreck a game because he's so motivated. So I think, Ross, the Lions interior defensive line is, they got some dudes there anyways. So that's what I'd be worried about. But I agree with you as far as being confident. I do think the Packers are just, they're a better football team. And they've been finding ways to win. And hopefully they can continue to do that. I think this is a team that if they win the turnover battle, they're going to win the game. And Matthew Stafford is one of those guys that he'll give you chances. And if they capitalize on those chances, I think they come away with this game with a win. But other than that, Ross, I think that pretty much covers it for us today. I hope you guys enjoy the new look, new sound that Ross is bringing to you from his Harry Potter style under the stairs studio. If you don't have anything else to add, I think I'll get us out of here. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, go Pack, go Pack.